I've been getting so excited lately, you know. It isn't that I always wasn't in the past. 40 years. Walked out on my job when I was 30. And I remember it too, because I had the birthday and then I left. So May 1st, it'll measure 40 years. You know, when you think in that amount of time, especially if you love to pray in tongues and love to meditate, and you equip yourself for day and night meditation, you know, it's, if you study that meditation assimilation, you'll find that those things he can put to use, where you really can meditate day and night, things just suddenly they put themselves together in you. You think, my God, why couldn't I see this before? But you'd think, you know, at 40 years and things, that I would have known more about the love of God and some things like that than I did. But I didn't. But I'm learning more and more now. The move I was captured in, which is faith, you know. I'm not moved by what I see, hear, or feel. I'm only moved by what I believe, and I take the Word of God as the final say-so in my life. And I was holiness when I was first introduced to the faith move. Like I said so many times, send you to hell over an earring. It was a devil's stirrup. That's how he got in your mind. So when they had that prayer meeting in a Methodist church, and they invited some of us, like and Earl Hitchin, I met him there. He got me into faith. And that particular time, he was teaching about a big hog he roped. He wanted to get him, it got out of its pen, and we got a roping horse and roped it, and it was so big it broadsided the horse. Knocked the horse down. And Earl, you know, he mauled the horse and he went after Earl. And Earl grabbed the rope that he roped him on. And he ran, tied him to two freestanding posts while he was mauling the horse. And so then he was running for the fence. And that hog seen him and took off running and snapped that first post. Then he tied it to a second already. And so he was trying to get underneath the fence to get out. And old hog came running and had one more post if it didn't hold. He said it opened its mouth this wide and stuck my whole face in it and went. He said the last rope held. I said, get on with it, Earl. So Earl Hitchin was like that, and he taught, I'm not moved by what I see, hear, or feel. The first time I met him, I'm only moved by what I believe. And then when he left, everybody asked me, what'd you think? I said, I don't think much of a religion I can't feel. Great statement of words compounded by hundreds of years of wisdom. You'd think I would know. But I'm finding more and more about the love of God, which I don't know how eluded me as good as it did for the 40 years. But he keeps saying things like, you can go ahead and say to the mountain if you want. Go on. Tell it what it should do. But if you doubt not in your heart, then you'll have what you say. And I'm finding out as I travel further down this path that the love of God seems to be an incredible bridge, where you first create the faith statement and it makes its journey to the part of you you don't doubt in. You can't hold hurt against somebody where you're destroying somebody he loves, because there's a balance to it. But you can't hold hatred and hurt and spite against somebody. See, there's things that you don't do on purpose that is a response of your heart. like laughing. You know, when I try to teach serious, you laugh. When I try to be funny, you frown. Where'd they go? Tell me, how many of you have ever burst out laughing, didn't know you was going to do it hardly? So you just don't control that yourself, really. How many of you started crying and couldn't stop hardly? You didn't plan it, so it's not something you do with your mind, unless you're in Hollywood. There's other responses too. Where do they come from? There's a place in our heart if we doubt not in. We'll have what we say. And this is what I love the most about that. That's where them tongues come from. When you're praying in tongues, boy, how can a person come? And I mean, I got the Holy Ghost. You don't. I got him. He's the one person of the Godhead. There's only one. I have him. You must not. Well, you can't explain that, so don't try. You have him. So do I. Hallelujah. Well, we could say that mountain, and if we doubt not with our heart. What a 40 years of preaching, and I can see now the bridge. That bridge, even in the, what we'd call the Kenneth Hagin's scripture, you know. I'm not moved but what I see, hear, or feel. You can say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and doubt not. In your heart, you'll have what you say with your mouth. The thing is, how do we get it from our mouth to our heart? We know what it says. See, and that's what the love of God is. I should have known that praying in tongues was going to bring me here. Because it says it. Love never fails, and it does something with the fear. Casts out all. Oh, fear. I'm thinking, what kind of fear? Fear to go on the mission field? Fear to do this? Fear to do what? Well, if it's never failing, the fear it must be casting out is whether he'll do it or not. Whether he'll do it or not. Something began to happen. It's funny how his love affects you. It starts getting inside and building. Now, I already have. I already have a new nature which has a residency of that part of who he is and his nature, which is love. So I know I've got a chromosome that created the love he gave me in my spirit. And when I was born again, and then I knew that it was love he loved me with. But it was me. I had that so I could give it back. The love I had and you have, you can give back to him, and he'll know that it's you that's doing it. You can't give it back unless you have it. And you're really giving it to him through worship or whatever you want to do. Trusting him, loving on him. But the one thing he's got to know that is coming from you. Would you like to be the forever guy? Both directions. There's no time. He simply is. Why would he stop and pick us up? And us lifting our arms and telling him that we love him would make a difference. How could that make a difference when he that is without time has always been? What would he need? Why would it go this direction? Why you? See, why you? And how come this means so much to him? Then you lift your hands and say, I love you. It's not because you're on the last payment and you're about to go under. Can't. Sure, it's time to butter him up, okay? That we're supposed to already know that. Come on. Remember I started singing that song right at this point? I got a good voice. I'll sing anytime I want. No stormy trials. No lucid defiles. I'm really not doing anything wrong. I don't need help. I can get along. That's not the reason I'm calling home. I just called to say I love you. I just called to say how much I care. I just called to say I love you. And I do so from the bottom of my heart. The devil's jumping on me. He's calling me names. After ugly get lost, I didn't feel the same. Hallelujah. I just called to say, this is a fellowship with Him. Now, He is always been. So what can we possibly know about Him in our short time? But when he told the Samaritan woman that God's a spirit, he seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, the first person appeared on this planet in 4,000 years that had a nature he could fellowship with. In spirit and in truth. Boy, he was waiting for there to be a whole bunch of us. As I don't quite know what he wants from us. In this worship and calling him our Father and loving on him. But religions that don't do that are dry. Well, we're going to sing a song which was really originally to praise and to worship him. Want, get your hymnal out. A truck run over me. But I'm free because I'm not blaming what he counts as wisdom in. He said I was hit so I would learn what I need to know. I'll trust him through all of this even if the summer turns to snow. You know, religion can really mess you up. I mean, he come and delivered from all that stuff so that he could teach us by it. Not, where are you going with this? The journey from saying to the mountain to doubting not in your heart. Had a whole lot more to do with the love of God than I thought at first. This I do know, we can't, or you can't either, me, keep praying in tongues that he won't keep lining us up with what he is. When he talked about the tongues, which I can start now and 8 hours later, and you can't, y'all just won't even be to the end of the book. But he did say the church was edified from prophecy, which is you already know his will. I say, yeah, yeah. If all of us jump up three different times and say, he is Lord, that I got it from a good source, that he's going to heal everybody in the room. And the church will be edified if that's true, because prophecy told them what his mind was. But he says, he that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. But the reasons were the same. The mysteries you pray out. We interpret that as they're not for us to understand. We're praying mysteries. Oh. No. The mysteries you're praying is the mystery of everything Christ is in you, the hope of glory. You're not praying those mysteries out not to understand them. You're praying them out to understand them. And can I help it that the major, major attribute of God, in fact, he gave to us to tell us what he is. What is God? What is the subject that he's made of? What is the substance? He said, he is love. Now, when he sees a when Jesus sees a hospital full of mangled children, he has compassion. Tangible presence of the love, that's how he sees them. He looks at them with that love of the Father. Fortunately, it does something about it. I know this. I can't look at all those maimed children and be moved with the same compassion he was moved with and leave them in there either. You know, our history does have a few men that escaped everything and operated in the gifts and in his power and in his love like that. I mean, they'd mess whole cities up where they showed up. All the people in the city that were crippled up and stuff are suddenly running up and down the streets telling what happened to them. You don't think that would affect a small city? It'd affect a major one. I think that in his will for the people that'll follow close enough to find out what it is there's always been. If he could get to this state using people, that he can take out mighty harvests. And he's really looking for one in these last days. And how many knows it's getting closer and closer with, you know, trying to blow Israel off the face of the earth and things like that. We know those signs. We read the book of Revelation when the nations turn on Israel. You got to look out. We never will if we do, which we won't. So, you mean there's a possibility that I can look at the sick, the blind? Possibility I can look at them and have the compassion that was in him. That can rise up in me and I can love him like he did. I'm not saying playing God. What did Jesus say to you? The works I do, you can do also. And greater works than these, because I go to the Father. All those works you've seen him do, he said you could do. And then he said a greater work, depending on him going to the Father, meant soon you'd be able to administer to people the born-again experience by telling them how to receive it. That nobody could do yet. That was the greater work that had to wait on him going to the Father. And then we would do it. Look what he did. He said, the works I do, you'll do also. Look at him. Stopped funeral processions. Say, get up. It's kind of a shock. Get up. You know what religion will do? How long was Lazarus dead? How many days? Then they got him out, right? Lazarus, come forth. You know what religion does? Later, the Pharisees saw Lazarus eating with Jesus and some of them. And they wanted to kill him again. Oh, get over it. They wanted to kill him again. Is that pure religion, undefiled? Guy's raised from the dead, let's kill him. He don't believe like we do. I just can't get over it. But then again too, come on, can we know there's a direct path to what Jesus was saying? Works I do, you can do also. Can there be a direct path to that and just stay the way we are?
Well, I come for you to minister to all my penny-anny problems I have every day, you know. And
you just don't understand. I always have milk with my coffee and I couldn't afford it that day. Good acting, huh? You don't know what bad is yet. I don't either. If I wanted something to eat, I've always had it. I don't know. See. But what I do know is what he's done and what's available. And I can't just stand around and wonder about it and minister all my life. If he said we could do those things for crying out loud, I'm not going to listen to somebody that says you can't. I'm not going to do it. You know what's prodding me on now? That prophecy hanging in the lobby in there. Can you imagine putting that word in there? Endurance is the key word. I'm thinking, well, I wish they'd have left that part out of that prophecy I gave. Boy, now when I go, it jumps on me. We roll out that door and get in the car. It is endurance. I'm happy about it now, because if that part came, so is the rest. And it isn't that we haven't been fighting. We'd fight up to a certain place, fasting like crazy. Everybody got tired of seeing me go like this. It wants to go like this, you know. Your body says, they're continually starving at this time of the year. Let's fatten this boy up. That's what it says. Your hypothalamus sends messages to your thyroid and turns all your glands up and says, they're starving. They're starving. Store a whole lot of fat for them. Every year they get starved for about 2 months. Manufacture fat. After you break a fast, I know you got real skinny and pretty, but you can eat the very same food you did before you fasted and you're going to gain about 20 extra pounds anyway. Because the body went into shock and thought you were starving to death, so it's going to make account for it. It's going to store up fat on you, so you're going to survive in backward circumstances. But you can whip it. You can exercise. You can do all that and eat, and then it'll start adjusting itself to your new lifestyle. Quit making fat out of everything you touch. You just look at a carrot, and it'll turn it into fat. You're strong enough to be what you want. All you have to do is start and stick with it. You'll find out after you endure something. You know, the next time that meal jumps on you and says, eat me, you can say, shut up. You ought to try locking yourself in a little room and say, only attention I'm going to have my span on is the Word and Jesus. For this many days, nothing but water. Boy, your big heroic mouth, you want to slap it off and bury it after about 3 or 4 days. I've been through lots of those things. That's okay. It's not a normal church. We're after something. I just didn't want to babysit you through to be saved. We're after something. Can't help it. Always been. But we're going to see it too. I saw the aerial view in Oak Ridge. It's when he was working with me to go full time, just before I turned 30. Had visions and everything. The one vision I had was me going full time. That night I dreamed. I was turning 30 that day. It seemed like it was a woman that was. She was at the microphone and introducing it. I was sitting in a crowd with my service. He's going to introduce me. And now, our evangelist. Then she looked at me, then pointed at the curtain. Somebody came out from behind the curtain. When they took the mic, they said, I don't know why God has given me this ministry. One of you must have failed. She looked down at the crowd, and I looked around, and it had disappeared, and I was the only one sitting there, but I took the hint. I resigned the 2-week notice that day. scared to preach, didn't have an income, had three little kids. To me, that was hard as heaven revival. I couldn't get up in front of you hardly. Me and Cecil was a Garinger driver. That picks lumber up. I tried that, but I kept hitting the load. Well, I seen way back then here. It must have been 75. Because I saw the round building, like I was looking at it from that direction to the left, flying over. Cars were way down 75, waiting for a turnoff. I saw the round building over on that side, but the people were, there was a nucleus, but they looked like they were feeling fields, just fields. There was that many of them. And whatever was happening, somewhere in there, they were laying their sick and doing that kind of thing. So that was way before I did anything. So when I was living in Medford then in ministry, pastoring and doing camp meetings, and so when I started bringing in speakers, I knew. We had some camp meetings in Medford. But I don't know if I knew that was Tulsa I saw in the vision or not. But I knew I was supposed to come to Tulsa. When I got here then, I recognized the setting. It was. So I tried to go to a church they wanted me to go and gave me great notoriety and money. They gave me everything you could hope for. And I couldn't stay because my vision wouldn't fit. I don't know why I'm telling you all this now in this sequence. It seems like it's connecting it with another part, which is His love. I claimed to have some of that in the beginning, but I didn't have a whole lot. If it was in my new nature, it didn't get out too often. But again, this is what I see. I see people. I don't want to keep using myself. They see I'm looking at a diseased kid. And they're looking at him out of the love that Jesus gave them and compassion. And you don't think they're not going to do anything about it. When I asked God, well, what do we do now? He showed me something real ugly. I've hated it ever since. How many of you have ever looked at a child? And you know, that never had a chance from day go. And you look at it, you feel helpless. You know, the final thought that would come to me, I'd brush it off. I mean, I'd brush what I saw off. And then you're just happy it's not you. You're just happy it's not your child. Yeah. What if it was? Well, that's what I did. It would overwhelm me. I'd been thinking, oh, boy, I'm sure glad my kids. Well, don't you think it's time to do something about it? You want something you can't shut up? Somebody had a couple of kids like that, and suddenly they're normal. You can't shut them up. They'll spread it all over town. So there's a great harvest that lies in God. He does these things. That great harvest is there. So the devil knows exactly what to fight. He's fought most back till they've done away with that kind of thing. They just come to church and give their tithes and sing some songs and feel good about themselves. He's taken most of it away anyway. And even where healings did break out, the devil would always neutralize them by, well, you know, he just, if it be thy will, he's healing it. If it be thy will. Well, it is. It is. In fact, there's really, you can't find an excuse. Well, you know, when he brought that child into existence, it wasn't his plan to heal him. He just wanted to teach people a valuable lesson about the, oh, shut up. It was too. Some preachers will say, see, and the way they say it, I was born. He knew me before the foundations. He knew me from my mother's womb. What? Like he didn't pick you as one of the mass that went to hell in the dark ages. So he picked you out and rescued you before you even knew anything. Even when somebody prays for you to be saved, after God, you know, does all these things and comes and gives you every opportunity, usually you end up getting saved. Usually. But God didn't. He didn't create this one and that one and all of them that people are bringing forward and deciding beforehand, this will end up in hell, this one is going to hell. Nah, keep that one. He's not doing that. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers, because it's truly penniless and the laborers are few. What does he want from us? He's the one that died for him. What does he want? Hallelujah, Jesus. Naikwala ebos kleetomakia. Dili omorekrato le evakoveskiti. Thank you. He truly is been able to bring the love of God forward, for it's in his plan. And then he said that I'm okay. He was talking to me. That I'm okay that he's visiting me with this, because this is one of the keys that must be put on and a door must be opened for an outpouring that we're looking for, which is just not going to stop. Beyond so, ducretole enkoskide chema. Zore alakur etie kime soho etie kile duma. For where extended miracles live is where the people themselves don't use them for their exaltations and to make their wealth. Don't let me get any of this wrong. Be a loco. So get out my chance. For he's also looking forward to the day that he can turn absolutely loose. Absolutely loose. In a great harvest. That will come through his love. And that the devil will not have as easy time as he thought he could have to pull it down with the seduction and deception. La corriente comate, see. So these ears, these gemascaro, basket adoekiske. These years that you have been enduring, look around. This is why there's not many powerful moves of my spirit because they were unable to endure and to attain to that place in me where the things that they see were because of my love and my glory, not their greatness. For when you begin to see others through the love that I've given you, in the genuine flow of this, that you'll not become something that you shouldn't be. Hallelujah, Jesus. These are obviously my first really good looks at it, so we'll get better. Remember before when I used to preach like this and then for peace and the things, it's real still in your life, and then there'd be a line and we'd get to impart because of His grace. And, well, I didn't know all those things was children of His love. The peace, the look that we're looking for. And that is possible because of your new nature. Do you have your Bible open to scriptures? Yes. What were you doing? Exhorting? What would you do in Paul's day? Had one letter they were passing around, reading it. You had no Bible in your lap. What Paul and those had to learn, it was through prayer. They made it. Quemos el agua, me trae que le tocito a la que moverse. That's here. For you that stayed, that these things I exhorted through the main service was things would lift you up and put you more in tune with me, that I might be able to do more for you. For when you see me through my love, and I see you through my love, that you'll see I can lift you up where there's a faith. For all things are possible to him that believeth. When Jesus was moved by that same passion, compassion, he healed them all. Do we have any trouble that we're saved when we, okay, say this and lift your hands? And they're carefully to tell us that we do it by faith. You know, like, okay, ask him. You want to be born again? Say it. Say this. Ask him now. Father, I want you to save me. I want to be born again. And sometimes people will, they'll not feel nothing, but they ask, and they ask with the faith they had in their heart. They asked as hard as they knew how, and they said, did you feel anything? They said, no. I said, you will. You will. Because when he said that, if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. And they wouldn't be doing it if they didn't believe as much as they knew how. So yes. Yes. Understanding that more made me know that the other things he said I could have, you can have. He can't lie. He can't. So when Jesus went back to heaven, he left them, and the people heard about the revival and brought their sick in from all the regions round about. And there was nothing but a crowd that was left to minister to them. He wasn't there in person. And I'm sure they all had the same excuses as today. except they had heard and saw a lot of miracles. But they had to be people in there that had excuses and things. But I mean, every crowd, there's a reason why some of them wasn't healed and stuff. Why would that crowd? I mean, it had to have been not up to them. But still, every single one of them was healed that they brought in. Not by the hands of Jesus, but by the apostles and the ones that were there that had been trained. So surely they could have found the same things keeping them from being healed as we find and say. Fill up with a couple of thousand people, you got to find some that can give a reason why they didn't get it. But they all did. What can we say about that?
Are you going to pine away and are you going
to... No. But any farmer would be stupid not to look for a greater harvest out of his field. Oh. Hallelujah. So I keep seeing revival, and I see it more powerfully now and more than ever in my life, and I can only attribute it to that love that keeps increasing. Now, 10 stories up, when those devils met me tangibly, they were in the room. I could have hit one of them in the jaw. And a woman putting a death curse on me through a smoking flax, trying to fan the smoke on me. When I found out why they were there, it was to stop me from going through that last door. And when I found out what the door was, it was that love of God I've been ranting about now. What did it feel like when you stood in it for that minute? Do you remember? What did it feel like? It felt like I was going to the children's hospital, but it wasn't to pray for them, it was to empty it. How did you know you would empty it? This is how. When I turn loose of this, what's it going to do? Now you got to be sure. Are you absolutely sure? You have no doubt. None. You were right. Well, again, it won't happen again, right? What'll happen? That was what was behind that door, unfortunately, only for a minute. But why show it at all if it wasn't possible? And that whole room full of devils to prevent it? Come on, people must have been this way before. You don't think he's longing to do everything that's written about him? No, it's been my pleasure serving you from his table. So.